Tonight we're reading from Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 5, text number 1, Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. Arjuna Vacha, Janyasam Kramanam Krishna, Una Yogam Cha Sam Shasi Yatriya Etayor Ekam Tame Muri Su Nishchitam Sanyasam Kamanam Krishna Punarya Vinam Cha Sam Chisha Shishi Yatriya Etor Ekam Tame Bhumi Su Nishchitam. Someone else? Arjuna Vacha. Arjuna said, Sanyasam, renunciation, Karmanam, of all activities. Krishna, O Krishna, Puna, again. Yogam, devotional service, cha, and also samshashi, you are praising, yat, which, kriya, is more beneficial, vidayor, these two, yogam, one. That may unto me, who he please tell, who needs to come definitely. Translation purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. On page 243. Translation. Arjuna said, O Krishna, first of all you ask me to renounce work, then again you recommend work and devotion. Now will you kindly tell me definitely which of the two is most beneficial? Does this sound okay? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. In this fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that work and devotion is better than dry mental speculation. Devotion service is easier than the latter because frees one from the reaction. In the second chapter, preliminary knowledge of the soul and its entanglement in the material body are explained. How to get out of this entanglement, engagement, how to get out of this material engagement by Bodhi Yoga, a devotional service, was also explained therein. The third chapter is explained, the person who is situated on the platform of knowledge no longer has any duty to perform. And in the fourth chapter, the Lord told Arjuna that all kinds of sacrificial work culminate in knowledge. However, at the end of the fourth chapter, the Lord advises Arjuna to wake up and fight, being situated in perfect knowledge. Therefore, by simultaneously stressing the importance of both work and devotion and inaction in knowledge, Krishna has perplexed Arjuna and confused his determination. Arjuna understands that renunciation of knowledge involves cessation of all kinds of work performed as sense activities. If one performs work in devotional service, then how his work stops? In other words, he thinks that sannyas, or renunciation of knowledge, should be altogether free from all kinds of activity, because work and renunciation appear to him to be incompatible. He appears not to understand that work and full knowledge is non-reactive, and therefore the same as inaction. He inquired, therefore, whether it should cease work altogether or work with full knowledge. Om Arjanata Ramdasya Janajana Sakaya Sakshirung Tamzuna Tadmilishi Varnarenamaha Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Sapitam Vinabhutai Swayam Rupa Gantimam Vandayam Sri Guru. Yadudam Sadhanam Prajna Saita Krishna Shedam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sadhana Laita Sri Vishkan Cha. Pancha Gopa Jubya Cha Kriya Sindhi Hiva Cha Annam Bhavani Yo Vaishnava Yo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Guru Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation once again. Arjuna said, O Krishna, first of all you asked me to renounce work, and again, you recommend work with devotion. Now, will you kindly tell me definitely which of the two is more beneficial? So, it is Krishna's plan that Arjuna remain confused. Benefit, not Arjuna's. Arjuna's perplexity gives Krishna the chance to stress further that work and renunciation are not opposed to each other. One must learn to work in a renounced spirit. Arjuna thinks that jnana implies renunciation of work, and then knowledge and work. Like light and darkness are contradictory. Krishna emphasized, however, that one in knowledge should also work. The personality God replied, renunciation of work and work and devotion are both good for liberation, but of the two, work and devotion is better than renunciation. This is the second time Krishna directly rejected seeking perfection through dry renunciation and jnana instead recommended work. Both renunciation have the same goal. Both work and renunciation have the same goal, but the two, detached work is safer, easier, and more practical. Working in knowledge purifies our hearts, solidifies whatever realization we attain. The karma sannyasi is one who renounces work. If material desires arise, he cannot take shelter of using his senses in work that will purify him. He has a foundation principle, has renounced all sense interaction. His choice for senses is either mundane action or inaction, as the senses have no legitimate engagement. Detached work is a more practical path of renunciation. Srila Baladev Vidyarushan comments, working in renunciation strengthens one's knowledge. That work is foundational. Cannot take here as a foundational principle. So Arjuna was a Nityasiddha, eternally liberated soul. But one time in Dwarka, one Brahmin had a child, and as soon as the child was born, it disappeared. So the child died. So that was the end of Dwapara Yuga, before the Kali Yuga began. And the king was responsible to see that everyone in the kingdom lived a peaceful, happy life, had all the necessities of life, and there was no untimely deaths. So the Brahmana went to King Urusena and lodged a complaint, saying that he was not a good king, because his son died prematurely. This happened 9 times. Then Arjuna made a promise, made a vow. If the next child is born and dies, I will enter the fire. So when the next child was born, immediately the child disappeared. And Arjuna went all over 3 worlds to try to find the child. But he couldn't find the child. And then Krishna came into the scene. And since Krishna's best friend, he didn't want Arjuna to commit suicide by entering the fire. So Krishna and Arjuna got out of Krishna's chariot. She had 4 horses. They were also transcendental. And they went through all the material planets till they got to the Brahma Yoti. And then the horses, although they were transcendental, they hesitated because of such a bright effulgence. But anyway, Krishna Arjuna, they finally got to see Lord Vishnu. Because this story, this activity, was the doing of Mahavishnu, because he wanted to take darshan of Krishna. Anyway, it's all explained. So Arjuna went with Krishna in his Narayan form. So Arjuna is not a conditioned soul, and he's a Nityasiddha, eternally liberated soul. So he couldn't really be put into illusion or be confused without the potency of Yoga Maya. So Arjuna is acting like he's confused because of the influence of Yoga Maya. And also Krishna, sometimes he plays the part of an ordinary human being. when Krishna was fighting with Salva. Salva had gotten an airplane that could fly in the sky and go anywhere and everywhere without being seen. So Salva brought the false Krishna's father, Vasudeva, and cut off his head. And Krishna was lamenting like an ordinary person. But we know Krishna's never an ordinary person. And he's never influenced by the three modes of material nature. So Krishna is transcendental, speaking the Bhagavad Gita, and Arjuna also transcendental, Krishna's friend. But Arjuna is taking the role of a conditioned soul so Krishna can speak the Bhagavad Gita. You wouldn't expect someone who's a great warrior. Arjuna was a Maharathi. He had all the equipment. He could never be defeated, especially since he had Krishna on his side. And Krishna was taking rest in Dwarka. Duryodhana came and was sitting by his side. And Arjuna came and he was sitting at his feet. So Krishna opened his eyes and he saw Arjuna. So he said to Arjuna, "It's nice to see you. Why have you come here?" But Duryodhana protested and said, "No, I came first, so you should fulfill my desires first." So Krishna said, "Okay, what is it that you want? You want to have me on your side in the battle of Kurukshetra, or do you want my army to be on your side?" The Duryodhana was envious of Krishna, envious of the Pandavas. Therefore, he chose the armies, and Arjuna got Krishna on his side. So there was no possibility of losing the battle with Krishna on his side. And there was no possibility of being illusion or being in doubt. But it all takes place by Krishna's arrangement. And in the middle of the battle, just before the battle was about to begin, and it took about 45 minutes for Krishna to speak to Arjuna to convince him that he should act. So this is what Arjuna is asking here. He's asked this more than many times about working, whether he should fight or not. So in the second chapter, Krishna tells Arjuna that you're not this body, that you're a spirit soul. Veno smenyata dehe kumaram yovanam jaratata deyantara praptir hirasatra namuyate. That the spirit soul goes from boyhood to youth to old age, and then when it migrates, transmigrates to another body. And by thus engaging in devotional service to the Lord, great sages and devotees freed themselves from the results of work in the material world. In this way, they became free from the cycle of birth and death, and they attained a state beyond all miseries by going back to Godhead. A man engaged in devotional service rid himself of both good and evil, bad actions, even in this life. Therefore, strive for yoga, Arjuna, which is the art of all work. So this is what's being described here. Having knowledge is not sufficient, but knowledge and renunciation go hand in hand. This is called Niskam Karma Yoga. When one acts with no desire for the results, only for the interest of Krishna. So this was explained in the second chapter, that by performing devotional service, And we know by chanting Hare Krishna, one can get free from the bondage of material existence. Now, in the third chapter, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 17 says, one who takes pleasure in the self, whose human life is one of self-realization, and who is situated in the self only, fully satisfied, for him there is no duty. So, Krishna tells Arjuna, there's no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems, nor am I one of anything, nor I need to obtain anything, yet I'm engaged in prescribed duties. Again, Krishna is stressing that Arjuna cannot become inactive. Arjuna, well, didn't like the idea that he had to fight on the battlefield against his family members, teachers, and relatives, friends. So he wanted to leave the battlefield and live in the forest as a renunciate, or take sannyas. But Krishna said, no, this is not your duty. It is not your dharma. Your kshatriya, your dharma is the fight. But you should fight with jnana, with knowledge. Jnana and karma. Two things are discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Karma yoga, jnana yoga, and bhakti yoga. Three things. But jnana is of two natures. Jnanis, they want to merge into the existence of the Lord. They think God is impersonal. Prakasananda Saraswati was a Mayavadi sannyasi. And Lord Chaitanya said he's a offender because he denies that the Lord has a body. And I've given him leprosy because of his offense, but he doesn't know it. Why? How he got leprosy? So that the Mayavadi are big offenders, because they say God cannot have arms, cannot have legs, cannot have eyes, cannot have ears, can't have any of these attributes. But person in knowledge, we know that Krishna's body is Satchitananda, totally full of knowledge and bliss. And the jiva, the living entity, we have form, we have a body, so we can't think, how can one logically think that God cannot have a form and a body? It's like everybody in this room, everybody listening on the radio, had a father. Even if you did, you may not know who your father was, but we know that you couldn't have come into existence without a father and a mother. So it's a gross illusion that people think that there's no God, nobody in control, that everything happened by chance. Or they have the Big Bang Theory. So we can make a Big Bang construction company. We'll put some dynamite in an empty land and make a Big Bang, and then we'll get a nice ashram. So this is nonsense, philosophy. It doesn't make sense. So Krishna is also telling Arjuna in the fourth chapter, Transcendental Knowledge, which we just finished yesterday, that O chaste enemy, a sacrifice of form and knowledge is better than mere sacrifice of material possessions. After all, O son of Paramita, all sacrifices culminate in transcendental knowledge. And also, he concludes that this chapter on transcendental knowledge. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For a doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world or in the next. One who acts in devotional service, renouncing the fruits of his actions, and whose doubts have been destroyed by transcendental knowledge, is situated factually in the self. Thus he is not bound by the reaction of work, or conquer riches. So this is the point that Krishna is saying, that one should not give up work, but we should give up work which is meant for our sense gratification. But we should work for Krishna's sense gratification. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhaktir hosade haitikya pratyata venama supersedati. One's occupation, supreme occupation for all humanity, is that by which man can attain loving service unto the transcendental Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted, completely satisfy the self. By rendering devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from this world. So Srila Prabhupada was a self-realized soul. Therefore, he printed the Bhagavad Gita as it is. In Russia, they don't like the Hare Krishna movement. So at one point, they went to court and tried to say that the Bhagavad Gita was not bona fide. And the lawyer pointed out that the Bhagavad Gita has been in the university library since 1933. So why are you objecting to the Bhagavad Gita now? And the answer was, because that was a different Bhagavad Gita. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And because people are reading this Bhagavad Gita, they're becoming devotees. So people may have read the other Bhagavad Gita, but because it wasn't written by a pure devotee, and it didn't have the potency to change people and make them devotees. But Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita does have that potency. And people can read Bhagavad Gita and may not understand the Bhagavad Gita. And most of us, it's difficult to understand 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita. But the last verse, Sarva Dharma Purushita, Mamekam Saranam Raja, Hamtam Sarvabhavaju, Moksha Shami Mahasujaha. This is the last instruction that Krishna gives to Arjuna. He says, surrender unto me, give up all varieties of religiosity, so I shall protect you from all sinful actions. Do not fear. So this is the result of the devotional service. Guru Krishna's Prasadipada Bhakti Lata Beach. And therefore, it's necessary for everyone except a spiritual master. Ado Guru Ashraya. This is the first principle mentioned by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar Devotion out of 64 items to accept a bona fide spiritual master. And Krishna said in the fourth chapter, Tadvidhi Parapraptana Parapasena Sevaya Upitex Yanti Jnana Sattva Darshanaha. It is to approach the spiritual master and try to inquire submissively, render service unto him. He can impart knowledge unto you because he's seen the truth. So This is the potency of the Bhagavad Gita as it is. The people may read the Bhagavad Gita for years and not understand it fully, but at least they understand that taking the devotional service, becoming a devotee, is a better alternative than trying to live in the material world and suffer so many miseries, so many trials and tribulations. In the material world, people are trying to enjoy their senses. And Prahlad Maharaj says that as soon as you make any endeavor for enjoying in the world, that's when your misery begins. He calls it chewing the chewed. If you chew some sugar cane, it's sweet taste. You get some sweet taste. But if you spit it out and chew it again later, you won't get any sweet taste. So this is the way material life is exactly that way. If people are trying to get some happiness, get some taste in material life, but they're never satisfied. Just like in the 11th canto, there's a story of Pingala with the prostitute. So one night, every night, she would go outside of her front door and wait for a customer that was her only livelihood, to be a prostitute and satisfy the senses of different men. But one night, she waited till midnight and no one came. And she began to contemplate that her occupation as a prostitute was a very sinful activity, an abominable activity, and that service to Krishna was the desire to renounce the world and serve Krishna came in her heart. So she gave up being a prostitute and became a devotee. So Bhagavad Gita, whether it's understood or not by the common people, still people can understand enough to know that they should come and live in the association with devotees and chant Hare Krishna. Because Chaito Dharpana Marjanam, by chanting Hare Krishna, the heart becomes purified. As long as we're in the modes of passion and ignorance, then it is not easy to understand the Bhagavad Gita. It said the first six chapters deal with jnana and karma, and the last six chapters deal with jnana. Of course, this is jnana and karma, and spiritual jnana. But still, the middle six chapters deal with bhakti yoga, or devotional service. And it's like a treasure chest. It has a bottom and a top. In the middle, it's a treasure. But it says, those who are too much materially attached to sense gratification, the resolute determination of devotional service does not take place. So unless one takes up the process of Krishna consciousness and purifies himself, then his ability to understand the Bhagavad Gita or any of the devotional scriptures will be a failure. And all over the world, there are many scholars, call themselves Vedantists, they have read all the Vedas and studied all the books, but they don't know how to apply it to their lives. One man was a philosophy teacher in America, and he had a child. He didn't have a religion, so the closest place, there was a church in his neighborhood, so he went and joined the church because he needed a religion for the child. Even though he was a scholar, he knew all about Achintya-bheda-bheda-tapa, Dvaita-dvaita. He could quote all these different philosophies, all the Vedas, everything. He didn't have know how to apply to his life, because he had not met a bona fide spiritual master. So when Prabhupada went to America, he was advised that when you go to America, you're going to have to wear pants and shirt and eat with a knife and fork, and a spoon. But Prabhupada said, no, I'm not going to America to learn from them how to be a materialist. I'm going to America to teach them. But Prabhupada wasn't compromising. Of course, in this world today, there's so many opposing elements to the Krishna consciousness movement, and in some places, it's dangerous to go there dressed like a devotee. So devotees have to temporarily give up the devotional dress and go in disguise for the sake of preaching Krishna consciousness. But it's not like that in America. America, you can, there's freedom of religion, and when Prabhupada went to America, he went looking like a sannyasi, wearing pointed shoes, whatever they were, and he never wore pants and shirt or a tie. He never deviated from the principles of bhakti yoga. So Srila Prabhupada carried out the order of his spiritual master. Although he was 70 years old, he took the Jaladuta. It took him 35 days to go from Calcutta to Mumbai to America. And it wasn't an easy journey, although the captain was sympathetic to Vaishnavs. He gave Prabhupada the best facility he had, and Prabhupada had everything he needed. Still, he had to suffer 2 heart attacks on the boat. And the captain, though, when they arrived in Boston Harbor, the captain and his wife were very pleased that Prabhupada had come with them, because they said it was the smoothest crossing they ever had across the Atlantic Ocean. So they requested Prabhupada to come back with them on the return journey, which was 3 months later. And Prabhupada looked around when he got to Boston Harbor, and he wrote a poem. He prayed to Krishna, "My dear Lord, I don't know why you brought me here. The people are all in mode of ignorance. How will they ever understand this philosophy? How will they ever become devotees?" He didn't, but he said, "I'm simply your puppet, so make me dance, make me dance, make me dance." So Prabhupada got off the boat in New York, went to Butler, Pennsylvania, then he went to New York again, and after 1 year struggling to establish something, he got a storefront on 2nd Avenue and started his Krishna consciousness movement. And first thing he did was get the certificate that were a bona fide religion. So he said, "We'll call it International Society for Krishna Consciousness." But the lawyer didn't understand what that meant, so he suggested you should call it International Society for God Consciousness. But Prabhupada said, "No, we want people to know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we'll call it ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness." So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and when people come to Krishna consciousness movement, they become devotees of Krishna and become devotees of the holy name also, because Krishna and his holy name are non-different. So if one should seek out a spiritual master, the Lord Nityananda, he's the Adi Guru or the Chaita Guru. He's the original guru in the heart. So if you play the Lord Nityananda, he will send a guru, and when one receives initiation, Guru Krishna Prasadi by Bhakti Lata Beach, time initiation, the guru takes the karma of his disciple, past and present and future. As long as the devotee As long as the devotee follows strictly the orders of the spiritual master. It's like a contract. You make a contract with the spiritual master. And that contract is in front of the fire, in front of the deities, in front of the spiritual master, that I'm going to chant 16 rounds every day and follow four principles: no meat, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex for my rest of my life. So when what's described here is karma yoga, or action in Krishna consciousness. When Prabhupada started this society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and then they spread all over the world. It was predicted when the Prabhupada, at the age of 70, would open 108 temples. Now there's many more. But our temples, we're not inactive. We're active. It is active because the idle mind is a devil's workshop. We can't imitate Haridas Thakur. One devotee went to Mayapur and said he wanted to chant all day for 64 rounds. So they went and told Prabhupada. So after a couple of weeks, the man said, well, I want to live in a tree. So they went to Prabhupada and told him, this man says he wants to live in a tree. But Prabhupada said, he won't last. He's not sincere. Because he said, I want. So he still has material desires. So after a couple of weeks, the man left. He couldn't do that. Couldn't chant all day. He merely tried. So we don't have to chant all day. We only have to chant 16 rounds. Well, at least 16 rounds. You can chant as much as possible when you have free time. At least 16 rounds must be finished daily. Sometimes devotees were working very hard to renovate the temple for Prabhupada to come. Prabhupada was coming there. And they were only sleeping 4 hours. And Prabhupada asked them, are you chanting 16 rounds? And they said, no, because we're only sleeping 4 hours. So Prabhupada didn't accept that. He said, you must chant 16 rounds every day. And so you should sleep less. And the same way, Bhakti Siddhanta required his disciples to chant 64 rounds, those who were living in the math, or the temple. But he also gave them so much service. He wanted temple deity worship, he wanted dioramas, he wanted books printed, he wanted them to do Harinam. So they said to Bhakti Siddhanta, we just can't chant 64 rounds, we have too much service. But Bhakti Siddhanta didn't accept that. He said, then sleep less. So the point is that we're not inactive. People see us, they say, why don't you get a job? They think we're lazy, or they think we're parasites, you know, in the society. And we go out and sell books and we're asking for money. But Vaishyasika Prabhu distributes books to people. He says, we don't need your money, but you should give a donation for your own benefit. And people don't mind giving a donation for a nice looking book to cover printing costs. So we are active. It's an active movement in the Indian Parliament. They somehow got the idea that we're the CIA. So a couple of CIA agents went to the temple and pretended like they were new bhaktas and wanted to join the movement. But after a few days, they saw our rigid schedule, rising at 4 o'clock in the morning and working all day, and they said, we can't do this. And they left. So we're active. Our movement is active. Active movement. We rise early, chant 16 rounds, do some service, join in the kirtan, hear classes, just activity. But the activity performed in devotional service, even though it appears to be the same as everybody else's activities, even in in Vrindavan, people in the building next door are doing the same activities we're doing, but they're not doing it for Krishna. They're doing it for their sense gratification. In different times, we'd meet people on the street from India, and they say, yes, we know Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Mam Paleshu Karachin. Krishna says, do your duty. So they say, yeah, we know Krishna, we're doing our duty. But but Krishna says, do your duty, but give the results to me. That they don't know. So at least Prabhupada wanted his household disciples to give 50% of their income for the propagation of Krishna conscious movement. So this is difficult to do in this age when everything has become so expensive, and just to maintain a simple life is not so easy. But this is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. A non-devotee, he only all the activities are centered around sense gratification. And therefore, he has to remain in the material world. And bubba paliyate, living any is going up and down to 8,400,000 species. Sometimes he's a demigod, sometimes he's a demon, sometimes he's an insect, sometimes he's a bird, a beast. This way the jiva is just entangled in the material world. It's like a Ferris wheel. It just goes round and round. Sometimes you're on top, sometimes you're in the middle, sometimes you're on the bottom. So this way, people are working hard day and night, but they don't know that they should be working for Krishna, because when you work for Krishna, there's no karma reaction. But otherwise, karma means that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So people working for sense gratification have to get the results of their work. But people working for Krishna, there's no karma. We're giving the results to Krishna. So there's a big gulf of difference between the devotee's activities and the karmi's activities. Although they look similar, like we're cooking for Krishna, we're cleaning the temple for Krishna, we're preaching for Krishna, we're doing so many things. We're not inactive. But we're not incurring karma because we're doing everything for Krishna's pleasure. We're cooking for Krishna. The cook cannot taste anything or should not desire to eat anything until it's offered to Krishna. This is pure devotional service. That whatever service we're doing, we're getting pleasure out of that service because the service is for Krishna's pleasure. And Krishna told the gopis that he could never repay them for their service. We know Lord Chaitanya, he praised the devotional service of the gopis as being the topmost platform of devotional service because they were selfless, sold-out souls. Even though Lord Chaitanya was a sannyasi, and he was very strict about talking to women or associating with women in any way. One time, someone was singing from Gita Govinda, and when Lord Chaitanya heard the glories of the Lord being sung, he started to run to find the person who was singing. But it happened to be a woman who was singing. So Lord Chaitanya's servant, Govinda, he ran after Lord Chaitanya and stopped him and said to the Lord, there's a woman singing. And Lord Chaitanya said, oh, thank you very much. You saved my life. Because if he had gone to embrace a woman, it would have ruined his reputation as a sannyasi. And so a sannyasi can never associate with women except for preaching or important business. So that's the highest level of devotional service, take sannyas. Means that we engage ourselves in body, mind, and words in the service of Krishna. And we don't get deviated from the path of devotional service. So sannyasi is a life of responsibility. He has to be ideal character, and he has to be careful that he doesn't get caught by the stumbling blocks while performing devotional service. These are considered anarthas in the heart. Anarthas that spring up while one is performing devotional service have to be given up or checked. Otherwise, there's a possibility that one will leave Krishna consciousness if he's not careful about anarthas or doing unwanted things. So Lord Chaitanya came, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. He came to teach knowledge and renunciation, which fosters Krishna consciousness. And that's what this chapter is all about. Working in Krishna consciousness without any, with the knowledge that I'm an eternal spirit soul, Jivarasugoya Nitya Krishna Das, and then my occupation is to serve Krishna. It's called Sambandhan Gyan. The Sambandhan Gyan means to understand that I'm a spirit soul. But understanding I'm a spirit soul is not enough. We have to understand we're a spirit soul, and so abhideya means developing our devotional service and understanding how we can serve Krishna with our on the spiritual platform. And parojana means complete success or developing our love for Krishna. Sambandhan gyan is represented by Madamohan. Abhideya gyan is represented by Govindaji, and Parojanagan is represented by Gopinath, three of the seven main temples in Vrindavan. But it's advisable, if you're coming to Vrindavan for the first time, or even many times, you should visit those temples. There are seven temples, started by these six Goswamis, and there's Madamohan, Govindaji, Gopinath, Gokul Ananda, Radharaman, Radhadamodar, and Radhashyama Sundar. And it takes a couple hours if you go by rickshaw, that you can visit all the temples very easily in one day. But actually there's 5,000 temples in Vrindavan. And many of the people in Vrindavan there have not understood about devotional service, and they worship the demigods. When they think that worshipping the demigods is the best path. But Krishna denies that in Bhagavad Gita. He says those who worship the demigods are less intelligent. Because the demigods are empowered by Krishna to perform certain activities. But demigods cannot give anybody liberation. Hirani Kashipu was standing on his toes for 100 years. And his body was eaten away by ants. So he was just remaining in his body. The soul, life air, was remained in his body, but he didn't have a body. So Lord Brahma came there and saw his condition and sprinkled some water on his pot water on the Hiranyakashipu, and immediately rejuvenated his body. So Hiranyakashipu, he wanted to become immortal. He wanted to live forever. But Lord Brahma can't give that. Lord Shiva can't give that. No one can. Only Krishna can give that. And Krishna gives liberation to his devotees, and he also gives liberation to the demons he kills. So Hiranyakashipu asked for so many benedictions, and he thought there was no loopholes, that he had asked for all the benedictions, wouldn't be killed by a man or an animal, by a weapon, by in the day or night. So many things Lord Brahma granted him. But the one thing he couldn't grant him was that he was free from death or free from karma. And so Lord Nrisingadev then appeared and killed the Ranikashipu. But he didn't break any of Lord Brahma's promises. He killed him in, it wasn't day or night, and he didn't have any weapons. He killed him with his nails. And there's so many ways he fulfilled the desire of Ranikashipu, or he tricked Ranikashipu and killed him, even though Lord Brahma gave him so many benedictions. So, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. We should know that we should act in Krishna for Krishna's pleasure, and this is the called selfless devotional service. And if we act this way, then we'll not be subject to the reaction of repeated birth and death. It said that if one takes initiation and gives Guru Dakshin, then he can go. He may not get out of the material world, but he can go to Janalok, Tapalok, Mahalok, Brahmalok. And those four planets are close to Vaikuntha. From there, the sages, they perform those service, and then they can go to Vaikuntha or Golok after that lifetime. So this is what was being spoken here. Arjuna wants to know whether he should work for Krishna or whether it should not work, whether it should just go to the forest and live by begging. So Krishna says that two, renunciation of work and work in devotion are both good for devotional service, but working in Krishna's consciousness is the best of all. And this is also same question comes up in 12th chapter that about which path is the best path, the impersonal path or the Vaishnava path. And Krishna says that the two paths, devotional service is the best path because it's easily performed. Whether the other paths, we have to sit in meditation, jnanis and yogis, they perform austerities, and it's very difficult. They go through so much difficulty, and most of the time they're not successful. Like Vishwamrita Muni was meditating for 60,000 years. Then Indra got envious and started to think that this man is becoming too powerful. So he sent one apsara, Menaka, and just by hearing her ankle balls, not even seeing her, his meditation broke, and he, as a result, a female child was born, whose name is Sukuntala. In this way, he was a failure. But devotees perform devotional service, it's a lifestyle. From the time in the morning, we wake up until 4 o'clock in the morning, till we take rest at night, Krishna consciousness is a lifestyle where if we keep ourselves fully engaged, then we will not be allured by the material energy, but we'll be under the influence of Yogamaya, the internal energy. So this is what is being stressed here, that Arjuna should fight and in Krishna consciousness and know that he will not have to suffer a reaction, for sinful reaction, because Krishna is there and Krishna is telling him to fight. Because Krishna's desire, then he has to fight for Krishna and not incur sin. The time is up. Anybody have any questions, comments?